It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host, and happy 4th of July weekend. Everyone listening, wherever you might be, hope it's a great weekend and the great outdoors for you. And that's going to lead me right into the maybe the most significant discussion we've had in a long time about the outdoors and public lands in America and why America is different from the rest of the world. Over the past few weeks, there's been a lot written and discussed. You've heard me talk about it, about the unprecedented effort to sell public lands led by Senator Mike Lee of Utah, that he had a proposal in the Senate bill that was part of the budget reconciliation bill that would offer the sale of tens of millions of Bureau of Land Recommission, Bureau of Land Management lands, as well as U.S. Forest Service lands. Near the 12th hour, he pulled his bill. He pulled that amendment from the bill after facing, I think, an unprecedented pushback from everywhere in America, from people who utilize our public lands, as well as from members of his own party in the House and in the Senate. And so it went nowhere, but not before it caused a lot of consternation. But at the end, I think it maybe is a good thing that this happened, because it showed that Americans care immensely about their public lands. And if it was, if you will, a trial balloon or putting your foot in the water, putting your toe in the water to see what the outcome would be, he found out that if his toe was in the water, he got electrocuted. And if it was a trial balloon in the air, it got shot down. And it got shot down bipartisanly from all corners of the country. And most interestingly, it brought the conservation community together, as it seldom comes together. Often we have groups like the Sierra Club and Defenders of Wildlife and organizations like that who do not partner with Ducks Unlimited or Wild Turkey Federation, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Congressional Sportsmen's Caucus, etc. It brought the entire community together in unison to say this is a very bad idea. And among those who jumped in was Johnny Morris, which you have never seen before. In that he actually partnered with the National Wildlife Federation to deliver a scathing, it's never happened before, a scathing editorial and public campaign. Johnny Morris, of course, is the owner of Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. So together, he is the largest retailer in America, actually the world, for outdoor products. And he created a action alert of public lands protecting our American birthright. And it was, the headline was, "We must speak up to voice, your voice matters." And it was from Johnny Morris. He's never done that before. It showed how seriously he took the possible sale of public lands. And it was just simply, don't sell off America's birthright. And that's what makes America different. And what I want to talk about today is not the fact that a bill was floated and then it was shot down, but that America is different than the rest of the world. We have public lands of magnitude for public recreation, whether it be hunting, fishing, camping, biking, hiking. It doesn't really matter. We have hundreds of millions of acres that have been put in public trust for the public to use. Yes, U.S. Forest Service lands are to be managed, actively managed for the harvest of timber and to control fires, but they're also available for Americans to use. Same for the Bureau of Land Management. Obviously, our national parks were not in question, but the same was true for them. So we have a system that's different from anywhere else. In almost every other country in the world, the game belongs to the landowner, the fish belongs to the landowner, not the public. England and Scotland are great examples. And it's one of the reasons why when America was set up, Americans did not privatize game, fish, fowl. We are the only country, really, in the entire world that did not privatize these resources. Instead, they were kept for the people. In Scotland, if you own a beat on a river, let's say you own land along a river, and I visited a property just like this last January, beautiful salmon river floating by this individual's property. He could not fish for salmon in that river, even though he owned the land, because the salmon belonged to a longtime descendant of the royal family generations ago. It was owned by the royal family, and he kept the salmon. So this individual lives on a beautiful salmon river but can't fish for salmon. In the United States, we believe fish, wildlife, fowl are the property of the public, the people. And that is a very important distinction. And so the effort to sell off our public lands was a shot across the bow of what has been a fundamental core of America's fabric. And that is, we can utilize our public lands, and they're managed for public recreation for the public good. They're not to be privatized. And so what we saw in the past 2 weeks was really an alarm bell being sounded, an incredible rallying cry coming together from, yes, some organizations use this as they always do to try to raise money and say the sky is falling. But most of them did so in a genuine way to say that, as Johnny Morris said, don't sell off our American birthright. So I would imagine that what we've seen is something that's going to now not surface for a long time. And that's a good thing, because Congress, the House, and the Senate, as well as the White House, really heard that Americans, you've crossed the red line if you want to sell off our public lands. That does not mean that public lands should not be traded with private interests when it's an opportunity for both the private interest and the public interest to benefit. And I spoke about this briefly a couple of weeks ago, where there are many instances where lands that are in public ownership are either blocked off from public access by private lands, or they're lands that are in private ownership that would be better off in public ownership via land trades. There is a long established mechanism for trading federal and state lands. There is no mechanism really for selling lands, and the trading of lands should be pursued where it benefits the public interest. And that is what was missed in this entire effort. Was, if it had been an effort to say, let's look at trading some public lands for private lands where both parties would benefit, or largely the public would benefit, that would have been one thing. But that wasn't it at all. It was simply a matter to sell lands, to try to open up lands for development, and to put money in the federal coffers. But that was to go into the general revenue. Currently, if there are land sales, those proceeds go into conservation. So the issue's behind us. But what we learned from it is that Americans are unilaterally, it seems, overwhelmingly opposed to selling off, as Johnny Morris said, our American birthright. We have a huge job ahead of us to manage our public lands better. I speak about this from time to time. It's one of the reasons we have all the issues we do with fires and diseased trees and all kinds of management issues. It's because public lands are nowhere near as well managed as private lands. There's an opportunity for improvement. And when I come back from the break, I'll talk a little bit about that some of that opportunity for improvement. But there is no opportunity for improvement if the land leaves the public trust. So well done, America. America's sportsmen, women, conservationists, united in an effort that has never been seen before. And thank you, Johnny Morris, also for leading the way. I'll be back in just a moment with much more on the Great Outdoor Show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here, your host. And following up on what I spoke about on public lands a moment ago, one of the Achilles heels, both in state government and in federal government, is how poorly so many of our public lands are managed. You've heard me talk a great deal over the past years about the U.S. Forest Service and their inability to manage forests, which has led to massive disease die-offs in trees, which has led in part to these absolutely horrible fires that we've been experiencing for the past number of years. Lots of people say the fires are due to drought and they're due to climate change and they're due to all kinds of things. Well, there's no single factor, but probably the biggest factor is that we are not managing our public lands well. And that's why we're having such terrible fires. The Bureau of Land Management, I talk about that frequently, and in the context of federal lands not being sold, we really ought to have a serious discussion about how are federal lands going to be better managed? How are you going to have active management of the U.S. Forest Service? How are we going to manage our forests for the health of the forest, sustainability of species, and to reduce fire, which is, of course, is a huge human health concern as well. Bureau of Land Management lands, how are we going to manage them better? All of these things, if they were in the private sector, would be taken care of through private interests. It is absolutely true. You cannot find you'd be very hard-pressed to find a national wildlife refuge, a federal lands anywhere, including our national parks, that are managed as well as private lands with individuals when they take an interest in their own land. And I think there is the difference. The public lands belong to the public, and so there's no one directly accountable. Private lands belong to the landowner, and they want to improve them because they own them. For their benefit of their family and their friends. And so we have a serious challenge in front of us. Are we going to be able to better manage our public lands for the public's use of recreation and for the wildlife species that depend on them, as well as for the water that flows through them and the air that we breathe that emanates from them? This is the challenge in front of the United States government. And also every single state. I can't think of a single state that you would hold up and say they are the model for how you manage public lands. You can cite all kinds of landowners across America who are the model for how you manage private lands. And along that line, one of the reasons that waterfowl populations, particularly ducks, have shifted so much is because of the ability of private landowners to professionally manage their lands. And the Illinois River is a great example. Miles of levees that are on public lands are not repaired. Pumps aren't working. Crops aren't planted. Across America, our national wildlife refuges are examples that often you go to Utah, and you've got this incredible Phragmites, which is an invasive species of grass that has taken over literally tens of thousands of acres of some of the best marsh in Utah, making it absolutely useless. Cross a property line, and you find that private landowners have not permitted a single Phragmites to establish itself on their property because they know of the devastating impacts. So when you compare private lands to public lands, almost always the private lands are going to be better managed. But it is imperative that we manage our public lands for the public trust. And so when Johnny Morris spoke up last week loudly, and he urged his literally probably million customers or more to speak up, what he was doing is saying we have to protect our public lands. And at the same time, he knows full well we have to manage our public lands. We'll see what happens with the management part. We know for now the protection part is in good shape. In the couple minutes I have left, I'm just going to touch on some things going on in the outdoors. Canada continues to be very hot and dry. If you are planning to go waterfowl hunting in Manitoba this fall, you've only got 10 days left to get your application in for their permitting process, which we've spoken about many times on the air, and how it has not only alienated American hunters, but also how it has caused really dislocation unnecessarily of people who have long traditions hunting in Manitoba, waterfowl hunting. But it's looking like it is not a good year on the prairies at all. Certainly in the U.S., they have had some recent rains, but by and large, we are once again going to be entering a migratory bird season with waterfowl emanating from the prairies that have not exactly had optimal conditions. And in fact, some places they've had really very poor conditions. As far as what's going on with fish, all you have to do is look to the Pacific Northwest and the removal of the Klamath dams to get a sense of what is possible, the magic of taking those dams out and seeing how the fisheries have recovered almost instantaneously, how the ecosystems have healed. It has a lot of people around America saying, if we have obsolete dams, certainly we have very, very important dams for hydroelectric power, for transportation, et cetera, but we also have an awful lot of dams that are long past their useful period. What would happen if those dams came out? It's the discussion now, which is getting much more attention because of what's happened in the Klamath Basin. I hope you have had a great 4th of July week. I'll talk to you next Sunday on The Great Outdoors with much more of what's going on in America and around the world. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.